So what, God, as I was thinking about tonight, is your word for people, both in the light of our church meeting, but also for some who are not staying for that, but just here to meet with God and hear from him. And the Lord put on my heart this word, faithfulness. Faithfulness. Graham, thank you for your faithfulness. Margaret, thank you for your faithfulness. And we've been singing about God's faithfulness. It's in the context of his faithfulness to us that we can be faithful to him. And God just put on my heart Hebrews 10 and a few of the verses in Hebrews 10, verse 23 and 25. So I want us to take us briefly to them as we come tonight. And it's an amazing section. I'm just going to focus on verses 23, 24, and 25. So just three verses there. I'm going to read those three verses, then I'm just going to go back and read a bit of the verses before as well to help us in the context. This is what it says in verse 23 of Hebrews chapter 10. It says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So should we go back to verse 19 and just get a bit of the context, and then we'll read down through to verse 25 again. "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water." That picture that Tim was explaining to the kids about baptism as they were coming in this morning. And then our verses again. "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Did you notice the multiple "let us, let us, let us"? Did you catch that? Both of the verses in 23 and 25 and 24 start like that. Depending on which version you've got, some versions have in this section kind of three lettuces, and others have five lettuces. So I don't know which version you've got in front of you, but I do have, to help you remember this tonight, I do have, guess what, a lettuce. Because I've remembered this passage for so many years as the "let us" passage, because it's just full of them. So what I want you to do tonight is, I want, as this goes around, I want you to take a little bit of the lettuce, okay, and we're going to get to the heart of the lettuce and the heart of it all, but take a little bit of the lettuce, pass it on, and just, you're going to, that'll be a little amount, you can throw it away at the end. That's not going to be the important point. You're going to remember it much better though if you've touched the lettuce and had it in your hand. So grab a little bit of the lettuce, and here's just two. We could do a whole lot here, but just two of the lettuces that I want us to focus on. Are you ready? First one, let us faithfully hold on. It says here, verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. I was thinking, as Jocelyn and Joe were baptized this morning, and they said that last baptism question, they will hold fast to Jesus, whatever the future holds, whatever difficulties, challenges, or even persecution. I was thinking, if they did that, if all of us tonight did that, that we hold on to Jesus, that we hold on to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he has done those wonderful things that are kind of lead up into the verse that we were reading. This wonderful thing that he's made a way, and he's opened up this opportunity for us, so that we're not holding on to a lettuce. There's no point in that other than to remember it. But we're holding on to something far, 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 far more precious that you must never let go of. Holding on to Jesus. Holding on to the hope that we have in him. You know, Our brother Dennis Fennell, who'd been a member here for many years, died this morning. Sean told me he was 87, and thank you, Sean, just the way you've loved and cared for him, particularly this last week, and many here. But he held on. Held on to Jesus. And folks, it's no small thing. In a world which bombards faith and an enemy who tries to attack our faith, to just keep holding on unswervingly, faithfully. And Graham, thank you as a leader of this church for helping us over more than four decades just hold on to the gospel. There are churches that haven't. And as we meet tonight as members at an annual general meeting where we kind of mark the passing of a year, you know, one thing we want to make sure we keep doing year by year is holding unswervingly on to the hope that we profess. Why? Well, because he who promised is faithful. Because it's God's word and the truth of what he's promised way back all through the years. The amazing things. I was thinking about Daniel chapter 2, where this amazing vision that Daniel has. I'm just going to turn there because I love this. Okay, just hang on a moment. Here we go. Daniel chapter 2. And this is a real blessing if I can find Daniel here. Daniel chapter 2 says this. I love this bit. I know I've not got much time. It's Nebuchadnezzar's dream and Daniel interprets it. And it says this. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. This is Daniel's interpretation. In the time of those kings, that's the kind of last empire that he'd had these pictures of, all these different empires. And it's very clearly kind of the Roman Empire. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end. But it itself will endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of the mountain, but not by human hands, a rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, and the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God, this one we've been worshiping, has shown the king what will take place in the future. And I love this bit. The dream is true, and its interpretation is trustworthy. It's a promise. And the Lord is faithful to his promises. As one translator puts it back in Hebrews 10, he's utterly dependable. It happened. In the time of those kings, Jesus was born, his kingdom and his death broke the power of the enemy, and his kingdom will last forever, and we hold on to the one who's faithful. At Spurgeon's College, where Tim and I have done some study, the motto there is, in Latin, it's tenio et tenior. I hold on and I'm held. Because not just do we hold on to Christ, he's holding on to us. He is holding on to us. So hold on to Christ, brothers and sisters. It's like the Lord saying, hold on, I've got a hold of you. Hold on, I've got a hold on you. So let us faithfully do what? Hold on. Hold on. Okay? But you don't have to hold on to the lettuce. Who do you have to hold on to? You've got it. Okay, second lettuce. Let us faithfully spur each other on. In fact, it even says, like, let us consider how we may spur each other on. It's like, keep coming up with ideas. Keep trying things. Keep looking. And the word spur on is like provoke. Let us keep thinking how we can spur each other on. So this one is not let us faithfully hold on. This is let us faithfully spur on. Guys, let's spur on to love and good deeds. To the next two lettuces, sometimes there and in some others it's not. They're almost a kind of part of that spurring on to love and good deeds. Meeting together and encouraging each other. Those two things massively help us keep going. So, Graham and Margaret, faithfully meeting here in this place Sunday by Sunday. I know you weren't here last week. Which, you know, is, we've noted, you were up in Scotland, I know, it's terrible what people will do. But faithfully meeting. And faithfully praying. Faithful at prayer meetings. Faithful at encouraging us to keep spurring each other on to love and good deeds. As I was thinking about all that you've done, I thought of the parable that Jesus told about where he spoke to the different stewards, and to one he said, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful. There's a goodness and a faithfulness that I'm so thankful that you've shown, Graham, but I also want us all to model. That was the point of Jesus' message, to be good and faithful. As part of tonight with our finances, we're just trying to be good and faithful stewards of what he's entrusted to us as we look back over the year. But you know, there's also part of what we're doing tonight, which is to keep looking and being creative at how do we just keep being good news to our city. That's our vision as a church, to transform our city as a movement of missionary disciples. So one of the things we're going to talk about tonight is hope. Hope is a weekend coming up in the 23rd and 24th of June. You're going to hear more about it. And in different times over the years, we've tried different things to just bring hope and good news to our city. You know, John Wesley wrote this once. He said, do all the good you can, in all the ways you can, to all the people you can. Can you say that with me? Do all the good you can, in all the ways you can, to all the people you can. And so as a church, though in different ways, all throughout the year and week by week, we do loads of different things to try and serve and reach out to our community. Sometimes it does us good just to come together to do that in a focused way. And that's what we're going to do as we come into that time in hope. But I was thinking today, have you got your little prayer bookmark? Or you most people will get an email to them. Thank you, Jen, for doing these. For the World Week, today we're focusing this week on the poorest of the poor. Today for Strong Hearts, street kids and those who have next to nothing in Addis Ababa living in the slums. You know, we get to give and it touches lives. Actually means that people get food, get an education, get a home, get the gospel. And when we pray, things happen. And when we give, things happen. And let's do all the good we can in all the ways we can to all the people we can. Let us spur one another on in that. And that's part of why we gather and meet. I probably should stop there. So I'm going to save my illustration for another time. I'll just park the thought. I've got a whole little thing. And I'll end with this. We don't have forever to do this, to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. The clock is ticking. There's a day approaching. That's what it says. It says, let us spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching, because Jesus, the one who's faithful to his promises, he promised he was going to come back and make all things new. Sort out the wheat from the weeds. He was going to come back for his bride. He commanded and called us to go into all nations and make disciples of people, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything he's commanded us. And he's coming back. And that day is approaching. It's closer this year than it was last year. It's closer this week than it was last week. It's closer today than it was yesterday. And we don't know how many more days we have left, but the day is approaching. And that is exciting and thrilling and wonderful, but at the same time, it gives us a sense of urgency. A sense of now is the time. Now is the time to make the most of the opportunity. Now is the time to make sure you're holding on, not to the letters, but to Jesus, and reaching out, spurring each other on to love and good deeds. So, as we end, we're going to be singing in just a moment of this glorious return of Christ. And may it thrill our hearts. May it lift our gaze. May we know that he is faithful and he's coming back. But let it stir something in us that says, Lord, when you come back, I want to be ready, because I'm holding on to you. And I want also to have not thought, I wished I'd given away more. I'd wished I'd made the most of every opportunity. But may he find us on that day when he comes back, making the most of the one and only life he's given us. Amen. Amen. Should we stand together? And Tim and the band are going to come back and lead us. Lord Jesus, we come to you and we consecrate our lives afresh to you tonight. Lord, right at the heart of all these lettuces is what you have done for us. You have made a way. Lord, you have cleansed us. You have won us. Lord Jesus, thank you. And Lord, I pray for each and every one of us here that we would hold on to you and that glorious truth of what you've done for us all the days of our lives. Lord, I pray we'd be ready for your appearing. Pray that none of us here would give up meeting together and that we, as a body of believers at Holland Road Baptist Church, would spur one another on. Lord, even in the rest of our evening together, I pray. For I ask in the powerful and wonderful name of Jesus, who is coming back to make all things new. And we say, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.